Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FBI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Meryl Cohn, whose play Reasons to Live is currently playing at the Skylight Theater in Los Feliz. Meryl received her MFA in dramatic writing from NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. She's won the Dennis Johnston Playwriting Award and Curve Magazine's Lesbian Playwriting Award. And her plays include And Sophie Comes Too, Ask Andrea Anything, Almost Home, and Funny, Sexy, Smart, among others. And she's also the author of the best-selling book Do What I Say, Ms. Behavior's Guide to Gay and Lesbian Etiquette, and teaches writing at Castle Hill Center for the Arts in various adult education venues. So welcome, Meryl.
Thank you very much.
Well, Reasons to Live, I think it's tough to categorize, but I think it's a family comedy with a bit of a dark streak. But it actually begins with a tragedy. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that moment and why it brings everybody together at the beginning of the play.
Well, it's funny because every time I set out to write a play, I think this is going to be the serious one, and I start out with something that is kind of a heavy topic, and it keeps turning into a comedy. That's just, I guess, the process part. But in this gathering, the family is getting together for the first time after the tragedy. So the tragedy is in the past, and what they're faced with now is reconciling the past and the present. And they're getting together for what's supposed to be a happy event. One of the family members, Jane, is getting married, and it just happens to be the first time that some of them have seen each other for the past 3 years. And so it's basically, you know, the tragedy is more in the past than in the present, but there's a lot to work out between the family members.
Do you find, I know you just mentioned that it was part of your process, that you start serious and then it ends up a comedy. Do you ever find that it's more fun to find comedy in tragedy?
Definitely. A lot of times that's where comedy comes from, right? You have a tragic event and something you have to find a way to cope. And certainly in my life, humor has been a way of coping. And I come from a pretty funny family, and there's always been a thread of humor through the tragedy. Not that everything is tragic, but just through the difficult things that happen in life. And it's definitely been one of the ways that I deal with things that are difficult is by finding the humor in them. And, you know, so I set out, one of my plays, And Sophie Comes To, deals with, is about three siblings that have a mother who's in a coma. And, you know, that doesn't sound like that's a funny play, but that's really a funny play. And if I went through like what each of my plays is about, you know, none of them sound on the face of them like they would be funny, but I have yet to write one that's not, so.
Well, your characters also have this very direct and sometimes outright curt way of talking to each other. So how did this style of communication seem to work for you as the dramatist?
It's the way that to be honest, it's the way that I talk about a lot of the people. I'm from New York originally, and my family is from New York, and I don't think that most of us know an indirect way of speaking. And so one of the things that I find I have to put in the notes of the play, you know, for a director who, if it's a director who I may not know, is that the love and kindness really needs to come through underneath, because if people play it like the people, like the characters don't like each other, it turns into a very different and dark kind of play, you know. Then it's like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and
right,
that's not what I'm going for. And so there really needs to be an underpinning of love and compassion and humor, even though the lines can be pretty direct, I think.
Mm. That's funny. I was thinking that it would be almost like changing the music under a scene in a film or something. You could completely change it into Virginia Woolf.
It's like why directors and actors have so much power. And, you know, if your intention is not really clear, and nobody likes to read a play that has, you know, 1,000 stage directions, right? I mean, directors don't like it and actors don't like it. But if you don't set your intention pretty clearly, especially if you have people saying things to each other that can be taken in more than one way, then it can end up being very different from what the playwright intends, I think.
I'm guessing that would probably be fun, more fun for actors to play, too, because you're playing both the text and the subtext simultaneously.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, yeah. So, you know, I mean, in this particular production, there are some pretty talented actors, and I think they are able to get the different layers of the characters. And, you know, most of the time, if you have good actors, you know, they can do a lot of different things, and it can change in a lot of different directions. Sometimes even from the beginning of the same production to the end of the production, there are a lot of changes in how things are played. Mm-hmm. Especially like once they realize that something that they're saying is funny because now an audience is in place, and something that they were saying in this way that they didn't really know was funny, you know, then that's always the last and most fun ingredient is how audiences respond to things, and it becomes, sometimes it transforms like what the experience is once you have the audience in place.
Mm. Well, soon enough in the journey of the play, the family, is it Silverstein or Silverstein?
Silverstein.
The Silversteins begin to pull together for an unlikely reason. It's nothing is easy or neat, which is very pleasing as an audience to not have everything fall very neatly into place. But there's a character named Andrew, and he's got a little cottage industry happening, and it at least ends up sending things in a more healing direction by the end of the play. Why did this seem like the best direction for this piece?
Why did it seem like the best direction?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, I'm glad that you're asking the question the way you are, because you're not giving away the whole plot, which is great. I think Andrew is a character who's really in need of redemption, and I think his little cottage industry, which is, you know, his mother thinks he's a drug dealer and he's not. He's really doing something else in her house. And, I think Andrew is really trying to feel better about something terrible that happened, and Jane, another character in the play, who is his sister, it involved her, and in a way it's his way of making amends to her, but it's also his way of like being able to go on with his own life so that he can feel okay about himself. And I think a lot of my plays have a thread of redemption in them, I think a lot of times, you know, in family situations, people are searching for ways to heal things that happened in the past, and I think that's one of the things that's explored in the play.
Absolutely. I will never give away any of the twists or any of the plot points, because I really want people to get out and see it. This play is so funny, but it's such a, I'm not going to say what it is, but afterwards I think you're going to realize it's such a strange thing for this part of the play to hinge on. It's both physical and it's emotional, and it's really, really satisfying for everybody out there. So go get your ticket and see this play, because it's funny, it's moving, and I don't know that I've ever seen another work or read another work that hinges quite this way on this particular thing. So check it out.
Oh,
but
well,
anyway, I wanted to ask you, we only have a couple minutes to speak because it's a podcast, but I always like to ask what people are working on next and what we might be able to look forward for you in the future.
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, I'm working on another play that so far is fairly serious, but I think it's taking a turn. it has some musical elements like this one does, even though it's also not a musical, but it has a couple of songs. And it's a play currently titled The Final Say. I don't know what it's ultimately going to be called, but that's what it's being called right now. And it's a play about... let's just say it's about two writers, and one believes her story has been stolen, and, you know, it's about her attempting to write that, and write, R-I-G-H-T, not W-R-I-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to fix the way that she thinks that she's been wronged, and it hinges on a story that actually belongs to her grandmother, and I guess that's all I'll say about it right now, but we'll see how long it takes for it to come out and how many turns it takes. That's kind of a whole other story in itself, is, you know, what happens to a play in the process.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today and break a leg.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Reasons to Live is a co-production of Open Fist Theater Company and the Skylight Theater Company. It's directed by Susan Morgenstern and runs at the Skylight Theater through November 30th. The cast includes Jordana Berliner, Michael Cotter, Catherine Griffith, Jessica Iris Morris, Judith Scarpone, Jennifer Scotch, and Amanda Weir. For more information about tickets, please visit www.skylighttheatercompany.com or call the box office at 213-761-7061. For more information about LAFPI's activities, resources, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.